The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and verses 18 to 23. This can be found on page 978 and 979 of the Bibles. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears a word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Bonjour à tous. Ça va? Vous comprenez le français, c'est bon? Don't worry, I'm not going to preach in French today. If I was in Senegal, I would greet you, Assalamu alaikum. And you want to say, Malaikum salam. Salam alaikum. Well, it's a great privilege to be here. It's true that every preacher said the same thing. But it is really. And what struck me coming here, when I look at you, I've seen faces that I know, faces that I don't know, and that's great. But most of all, what struck me is to see all the different generations that are represented here. And on top of that, to be in a building when Christians have been worshiping God here for 1,000 years, that's just amazing. But what is also encouraging is to see that this great legacy that you received, you didn't stay stuck in it. And I see all the transformation that happened in this building to make sure that you'll be able to serve the communities around you. That's very encouraging. And of course, that's a big difference for me coming from Senegal when the church is so young and it is not all this richness and legacy. So I praise the Lord for this. So the theme of the sermon today is the God who speaks my language. So it's me, a foreigner, speaking to you. So I hope you'll be able to understand me. At the same time, if you have some difficulties to follow me, remember that for many Christians in churches around the world, it's not possible for them to hear the word of God nor a sermon in their own language. So the text we just heard, a sower went to sow seed. There is nothing more natural than that. His very purpose in life is that. Jesus is ultimately the sower of the seed. But he gives the order to every Christian. So we are called to spread the good news all around the world and to make disciples. We are all missionaries. And I'm rejoicing to hear testimony that many things are happening here in Reigate and that the message is shared around here too. God wants us to be witnesses, whatever he has placed in us. So in today's text, the accent in this parable is on the quality or the type of soil. But I'd like today us to think about the seed. When I speak to farmers in Senegal, I realize how much they care about their seed. They're conscious that they need good quality seeds if they want to have a good production. And I brought some seed this morning from Senegal. I didn't declare that at the border. They're all good qualities, but they won't grow here. There is millet, papaya, peanuts, rice, and beans. So why not? Why they won't grow here? Well, you know very well, it's because of the climate. So it's a bit like us taking the message of the gospel to people in English where they don't really understand the language. And this is why Bible translation is indispensable. So Wycliffe Bible translators and SIL are committed to translate the Bible in each of the language around the world. And we are actually translating in about 1,200 languages around the world. So the only way to stop the grain from developing is to keep it in the bag. As soon as it touches the soil, something happens. The seed is alive, as is the Word of God. Often we understand the four types of soil as being four types of people. This morning I'd like us to see these four as four conditions in which we can receive the Word of God as Christians in different circumstances in our lives. And I can personally identify myself to these four conditions. First of all, Jesus explained that the seeds that fell on the path representing hearing without understanding. The first need for a message is to be comprehensive in a language that we can understand. And I just want to remind that among the 7,000 languages around the world, there is 3,000 who don't have even one verse of the Bible. As you already heard from Janet this morning, the first 57 verses in Kanoninka are ready to be sown. So we praise God for that. Secondly, to understand, we need to believe. Without faith, it's not possible. Like the path, if our hearts are hard and unbelieving, the words can't enter and take root. Doubt is the beginning of lack of faith. And you remember the story of Adam and Eve, or Peter when he was walking on the water. When I read my Bible, I have to confess that sometimes I find it hard to believe that God is still the same today, and that he will act according to his plan, that he will take care of me and my family, that he loves me unconditionally, and he provides for all my needs. And all this in spite of 18 years of living by faith. The Word of God is an offensive weapon against the devil. But if I don't believe it, if I doubt, or if I don't use it, the devil snatches God's blessing, his perfect peace, his joy, his strength to follow him. In verse 20 and 21, we see that as soon as the seed touches the ground, he grows. What an amazing power of life. But as we read, a quick, enthusiastic response is not necessarily a sign of bearing fruit. The lack of fruit stops the plant from surviving the heat of the sun, or the wind, or strong rains. In West Africa, we see too many evangelization campaigns. When we heard about thousands of conversions, where people are quickly attracted thanks to lively music or the atmosphere. But in the days afterwards, there is little fruit in churches. The Christian journey is not an easy path. And to preach that coming to Jesus is the end of all problem is not the complete message. Tolerance in West Africa from the Muslims towards the Christians are quite remarkable. But when the message is preached in its fullness and members of Muslim families decided to follow Jesus, then the problem starts. Pressure, violence, poisoning, etc. For us as Christians, persecution shouldn't be something extraordinary. But the true reaction of this world, which is led by Satan, if Christians live their faith in an authentic manner. Here in Europe, if you consider England as Europe, if you want to live according to Christian ethics, in terms of work, finance management, moral issues, saying that there's only one way to go to heaven, for sure we're going to face opposition and persecution. The question is, are we ready? A Brazilian missionary just spent 7 months in prison in Senegal following the conversion of a Muslim child who came to his children's club. Our children follow that case closely because his son was in the same boarding school. This missionary has just been released, but risked several years of imprisonment. But he was ready to pay the price. The New Testament of one of our projects in a large ethnic group in a neighboring country was completed several years ago. But literacy work is not permitted in that country. So we recorded the whole New Testament in an audio format. We would love to start distributing it, but the Christians in the area disagree on a strategy to adopt. Some don't want to spread it for fear or persecution from the authorities. Please pray for wisdom as we're going to make a decision about this in the next few months. In 27 years of my Christian life, I'm struck by the number of Christian friends who have abandoned their faith. Often, this is because they had to face difficulties and they didn't see God intervening according to their will, or because of conflicts in the church which discouraged them. Faith is a marathon, and it takes time for the roots to develop. The church in Senegal and in the Gambia is young, immature, with very shallow roots. Please pray for it. But let's not be afraid. The Lord promised not to abandon us, even when we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's only the devil who wants to sow doubts in us. In verse 22, the third soil is the one I dreaded the most. And if the devil is not named, it is certainly present in it. Here, the plant is growing. We heard the word of God, accepted it, and are following Jesus. But there is no fruit. Jesus gave two reasons. First of all, the worries and distractions of this life. We are all conscious of this. They prevent the Word of God from penetrating our lives. Often we pay more attention to the news or other side of the world than what God tells us in His Word. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you always. By worrying, we encourage the thorns to grow rapidly in our lives. They stop us from bearing fruit. Worrying about our work, our children, our families, our health, our weaknesses, or what others think about us. Secondly, the lure of wealth. It is not the wealth itself that is bad, but the seeking of it. How much time do we think about our wealth and belongings? And in our African context, the realities and the temptations are different, but as powerful and subtle as here. So many things are there to distract us and pull us away from maintaining a close relationship with the Lord, stopping us from dwelling in His presence and listening to His voice before anything else. I can see for myself how easy it is to concentrate on what the world is telling me or suggesting me, instead of keeping my eyes fixed on the essential. Yes, the thorns can grow quickly to suffocate my face and stop me from bearing fruit. If the sower and the seed seems to be the heart of this passage, I can certainly see more a spiritual battle with a very clever enemy who is trying hard to stop us from bearing fruit. So this morning I'd like to encourage all of you to take time apart as a retreat, to be alone with the Lord, far away from everything, to look back on your life and pull up the weeds and thorns, and to center yourself anew to Christ, to discern His will for the different aspects of your life. Please pray for me in my new job while I'm supervising 21 languages projects like the Karolinka, and as I'm getting ready, as I already said, in April to be the next director. That would take time apart to listen to the Lord, to discern His plan for the work of our organization so that we can serve the church better. God tells us that it's possible to be victorious in our battles, the battles we are fighting in our lives. It's possible thanks to the new life that is in us. We are a new creation in Christ, and we can rejoice in that. So my prayer is that the Lord will give you the grace to listen to His word, to understand it, and to act according to it, and to be able to bear fruit to His glory, and to produce an harvest of perhaps 30, 60, or 100. It doesn't matter how much. What matters is to bear fruit. Thank you.